Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth. And that music means that we are continuing our rotation with wonderful members of the Hastings Ministerial Association. And we are just very honored today to have on the phone with us Pastor Paris Pash. He is the pastor of the Journey Church. And we want to hear how things are going, not only at the Journey Church, but also with Pastor Paris Pash in particular. Personally, did you like how I threw some more peas in there?
Mo, you're going to have to get a rag to wipe down your microphone now. So
you got that right. We have spit guards here because of COVID.
Yes.
Anyway, Pastor Paris Pash, you told me a long time ago that if your parents had known that you were going to be a pastor, they might not have named you Paris Pash.
Exactly. I think that would have been simply a kind act on their part, but...
So how are you? I haven't talked to you forever. I've seen you, of course, but I have not really chatted with you on the radio for a while. It's been quite the journey, hasn't it, to borrow your wonderful church's name. Yes. So not only that, but tell us about the Journey Church, please, and tell us about the journey of the Journey Church the last year.
Well, the Journey Church is about 3 years old, and we meet at the Hastings Arts Center on Sunday mornings. From 9:30 to 10:30, we're a wonderful gathering of people who are just enjoying being in modes of worship. We love music. That's one of our favorite things. We, of course, just like every other church, we've gone through one of the strangest experiences over this last year that I think most churches have ever gone through, at least in our lifetime.
Absolutely. And when you say we've gone through... It really is, I think, going through for everybody is different. And a lot of times when bad things happen, we turn to our faith, but we maybe couldn't do that always because our faith was just in a different way, right?
Yes. In fact, what I've come to learn is that how the church navigated through the COVID pandemic was as varied as any other institution navigated through. We were desperately trying to be respectful to our government's guidelines, and yet at the same time, we realized a very intense and spiritual call to making sure that we are helping our people with the very thing that we believe and we preach is the source of life, which is, one, the Word of God, and two, the fellowship of believers.
And so certainly we couldn't have fellowship as easily on Zoom. How did the Journey Church minister to people?
Well, we had a season of time where we were not meeting, and so we shifted, we pivoted, is the new phrase, I guess. We pivoted to using a digital format. We moved from a pure digital format to part digital, you know, the live streaming, to both in-person and live streaming, and we've continued in that. In our in-person activities, we chose as a gathering, and again, this is different among all churches, but we chose to wear masks out of respect and affection for our membership, whether younger or older. And now we are being given the liberty to not be masked if we're vaccinated. And also we have been given to, you know, the privilege of not being socially distanced, although we are still practicing that a little bit. So we're moving away from the kind of more hyper restrictions, but we've seen ourselves do transition through the last year, unlike the church has done for probably decades. I mean, I've been a pastor for 40 years and I've never seen this. So
I bet it's been great for you, though, to have other members of the Hastings Ministerial Association by your side to help navigate this, because really only other pastors can understand the challenges that you have gone through.
Yes, and if I can reiterate that a pastor's heart is to bring the very life force of God's Word and God's Spirit, the body, the family of Christ. And so when we're constrained to do that in our normal form, we can't visit people in a nursing home, we can't go to the sick person's bedside, all those things that we find are how we do what we do, when we can't do that, we really have to work together to find a path to be able to accomplish the goal. The sad thing is some people fell through the cracks in that.
Absolutely. And I would assume that all of those things that you said that you weren't able to do, those are super heartbreaking, but they're also heartbreaking for the families.
Absolutely. When you think about someone who's at the last moments of their life, who has been constrained to be alone in a facility, neither can they have their family nor something that they have walked with and alongside, such as their church, their entire life. What a dramatic shift that is. And thank goodness we've had some extraordinary people like a Gordon Gathright, who is right on the front lines, mm-hmm. who serves people in the midst of those deep-seated needs.
Absolutely, but I think we're going to look back on this maybe 5-10 years from now, and really, even as you were explaining about what the last year was like, it's almost hard to believe that we've come so far.
Yes. Now, as a pastor, you know, I'm a shepherd. That means that I have a flock of what the scripture calls sheep, and my task is to lead them to the pasture. And when the sheep have been scattered because of the restrictions, because of kind of the struggle that we've had of how do you be people with people, a lot of folks have kind of reinvented the concept of church in their minds, and it's come to some of their lives as lacking because they're not with other people. They're simply watching us on a TV screen or a laptop or maybe their phone.
Because part of our faith, obviously, is community. Is that correct?
Yes. We have been constrained to seeing people above the mask line for a good deal of time, for those of us that have been gathering in person. For those that are at home, they've only seen a communicator on a platform, but they've not had the joy of seeing the smile on a young family or the joy in the life of a teenager who's graduating from high school. They've missed all those things that are part of church life.
You know, I have a lot of friends that are teachers, and they talk about how they know that this time has been so tough to reach certain kids because they just learn differently. They they need more than just somebody on a screen. I would assume that maybe is the same for you, that you feel like you are not able to reach people in the same way. What have been your struggles?
Absolutely, what you just described, all human beings, whether they're young or old, we communicate differently, we receive information differently, but all of us have been designed by God to need one another. None of us wants to be invisible. And really what happens in a digital world is you become invisible. They might see me on the screen, but I don't see them. I might be able to look at Facebook Live and see who are some of the people that check in, but that still does not connect me with them. And so that's a great challenge. On Sunday, we had our second Sunday where our mask protocol had been relaxed to the degree that the CDC said was okay. And my comment to the congregation was, it's so good to see your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that smile has been hidden, and that joy is a contagion. It's better than a virus. That joy is a contagion that we need to communicate to one another.
So what have been some of the other transitions that you've been working on during this time period?
Well, like other congregations, we've had to really step up our game on our online presentation. Because if we're not, if my tie is crooked on Sunday morning, people give a lot of grace. But if they can't hear my voice clearly, they might as well not listen in. If the TV screen is digitized and not communicating well or fuzzy, they might as well not turn in. So we have a lot of advantages in person that are taken away because of technology. Now, some churches do better at using technology to a great advantage. A small congregation like ours and many others in Hastings, they're just doing their level best, but that's one of the things that we have as challenges. Children's ministries, programming, all of those suffered greatly because we were not able to be in those in-person, you know, fluid arrangements, and so we've had to make a lot of changes that way. But we're slowly moving out of that. Now, here's one of the negative byproducts is that we've had some folks who grew so accustomed to getting up, staying in their pajamas and watching church on TV, and they could watch the best of the best. They didn't have to be satisfied with going down to the art center and watching a small town hick present the gospel so they could watch the best of the best. It's hard to bring those folks back into our settings.
Are you seeing that? Is there going to be a slow return to in-person worshiping?
Absolutely. It's evident. I talk to my colleagues. It's what they're witnessing. But you can see that in the sports world. You can see that in entertainment. People, though they have the governmental freedom to participate, they still are very cautious. We have been trained very strongly in the area of fear. I'm working my level best to try to help people navigate their way out of the fear. One, to put their trust first and foremost in God, and that is regardless of the circumstances that surround us. But the return is slow.
And I think that, yes, there is some fear there, but I also think that people are just, they've gotten lazy in their faith because of the pandemic.
I can't disagree with you. I mean, I know it takes 2.5 hours to get ready and get going and get to a 1-hour service and get home, whereas it takes whatever length of time you want to have the screen on. Maybe you just like the music, so you just watch the music. Maybe you just like the message, so you just watch the message. Maybe you clip out the announcements. Whatever it is, you're in a driver's seat that is unlike the gathering, and the gathering includes all that front-end time. You know, we talk often in our church setting about leaving slowly. Well, why is that? Because it's people. People is the reality of church. So you want people to connect with people. But during COVID, it was last minute in and last and first out. That's what we were given as guidelines. I don't know if I want to throw the lazy word out there, but thank you for saying it, for taking the heat on that. But we've become maybe more comfortable with the ease of distance learning. Maybe that's what it is. Americans are certainly conditioned to convenience. We have a Target store within 15 minutes of us wherever we go. It's not like we have to drive great distances to our favorite chain restaurant. They put them all over the place. And so convenience is as much a negative as it is a positive. Hopefully what will happen from the church's perspective is that people will see that an authentic church experience includes accountability, includes that iron sharpening iron, being in the same room, sharing your burden, walking alongside, helping someone up who fell, all of those things which just don't happen in a digital world.
And if people want to come and experience joy and celebrate their faith at the Journey Church, how can they do that, please?
Well, we're on 4th Street on the east side of Hastings at the Hastings Arts Center, and we meet at 9:30. We meet for an hour. We have extremely good music. It's not just because my younger brother leads it, but he has a great reputation for being a great leader, but he's really rallied some extraordinary helpers along the way. So we have great music.
And so anyone is welcome at any time. You don't have to make a reservation or anything, Pastor?
That's correct. No reservation. We have a wide open door policy, always have. You know, Hastings talks about creating a new welcome environment. I'm not sure what they're referring to, because the churches in Hastings that I hang out with have been welcoming for the 40 years that I've been a pastor, and we're just getting better at it. It's not that we've been perfect, but we're getting better at it all the time.
Love it. Pastor Paris Pash, the Journey Church in Hastings, and do visit them at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings at the Hastings Art Center. Thank you so much. Really nice to get caught up with you.
My great pleasure, Mo.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
To pray.